6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。You're listening to Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone and welcome to Japan Top 10. I'm Shana and with me is...
Kusei.
Yay! So today both of us are bringing you the news from the spring of 2025. Now, lots of stuff has been happening all around the world, but how have you been, Kuze? Any news that you have to share? Has the beginning of spring been eventful for you?
I've been all right. You know, it's a little bit hectic. The world is going places. But yeah, I don't really have anything in mind in particular. I hope everything's been going well for you too.
I know, you're right. There's something about like spring fever where like everyone just starting new things and it gets really chaotic but fun at the same time. So I think spring fever is kind of hitting everyone around me because everyone is out there doing amazing things. And I hope all our listeners are doing the same. And before we jump into our news from the spring of 2025, we have a couple of announcements for you. So we are currently looking for various staff members to volunteer and join our podcast. So if you're interested in audio editing, hosting, or even content production, please take a look at our website at jtop10.jp/join for all the details on how to apply. And, you know, if you love talking about Japanese music, culture, and news from Japan, then, you know, this is a really great opportunity for you.
Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Hayley, by sending her an email at hayleyg@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
So if you want to be someone who also advertises on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that fit your company's budget. Find all the details at jtop10.jp and, you know, find an advertising plan that suits your company's needs.
Want to hear more music on our episodes? Join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club starting at just $1 a month and support our podcast along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture.
With that, I think we can jump into, you know, the news from Japan, and we're starting with our headlines. So some really interesting headlines from Japan, one major one being the Osaka Expo. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been really excited hearing all the cool new things that have been happening at the Osaka Expo. So the Expo 2025 opened on April 13th, beginning a 6 month long event dedicated to, and the theme being, creating a future society for our lives. So this is actually Osaka's second expo, and the first was in 1970 that attracted over 64 million visitors and held a record until Shanghai in 2010. So more than 160 countries are participating, and 80 pavilions are displaying exhibits with cutting-edge technology like robots and flying cars, as well as pop culture like Gundam and Hello Kitty. at the expo, there's a plenty to see, including Myaku Myaku, who's the mascot, and it's a blue creature with its face encircled by red balls, some of them being eyes. So it's actually said to be born from a fusion of cells and water in a small spring in the Kansai region. So the imaginary creature is said to represent life itself, with its name coming from the word myaku or pulse, which, you know, I think stands to be perfect for, be like the perfect mascot for an expo focused on improving our lives.
Yeah, you know what? I was at San Jose, Japantown the other day, there is a Matsuria festival, and I saw a cutout of Myaku Myaku. I was like, what is that thing? And my Japanese friend explained to me that he's the symbol for Osaka Expo. And then he told me all about Osaka Expo, and it did sound really hype.
Apparently it is. So actually one of our other hosts, Vicky, shout out to Vicky, actually went for the Osaka Expo, and I was talking to her earlier.
No way. Nice.
Yeah, and she was saying that it's so cool. It sounds so futuristic. And, you know, I just really hope that I'd be able to see it. But for anyone traveling in and around Japan at the time, you know, please go check out the Osaka Expo. I mean, it's going on for kind of 6 months. So do check it out if you get the chance. And I mean, I've heard really cool things about it. So I'm excited to kind of go check it out. But also, shout out to Myaku Myaku. I'm glad he's representing the Osaka Expo everywhere he is. So, you know, we love to see it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we have population decline. Japan's population continued to decline in 2024, marking the 14th consecutive year that the population has been shrinking. Population dropped to 123.8 million, a decrease of 0.44% from 2023, and the lowest population since it had peaked in 2008. Those 64 and older comprise 29.3% of the population, while children make up just 11.2%, the lowest ever recorded. A rise in foreign residents led to a net social increase for the third consecutive year, but the growth was uneven. Tokyo and Saitama were the only places that saw population increases from foreign residents. The Japanese government is implementing measures to support raising children, increasing wages for younger generations, and providing matchmaking opportunities to encourage population growth. You know what's really funny to me? Government's mandated matchmaking.
It sounds like the plot of a really futuristic manga where it's like the world is ending and the government's taking these extreme measures.
Yeah, there's probably a manga like that out there. Probably.
So, I mean, but yeah, I think Japan's declining population has been over the news and it's been an issue for a while. So it's, I think it's really interesting to see what kind of measures they're trying to put into place to combat this. But I guess it's just one of those things that comes and goes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I mean, it is a huge issue. I feel like the only thing they can do is, like, support young people so that they feel secure enough to, I guess, start a family. I feel like that's a huge issue.
Yeah, I think that plays a major factor in it, like the stability for a lot of the younger generation.
Yeah.
To want to kind of raise a family that way. But on that note, while we've been talking about Japan's population decline, baseball fans have had their little moment here as well, because despite this population decline, we've heard some big news from Ohtani. So on Saturday, April 19th, former baseball player for the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters and the current Los Angeles Dodgers player Shohei Ohtani and his wife, former basketball player for the Fujitsu Red Wave, Mamiko Takaka, welcomed their first child, a daughter, into the world. So, you know, lots of fanfare and celebrations there. And the announcement was made on a post on Ohtani's Instagram page, where he showed gratitude to his wife and referred to them as very nervous yet super anxious parents, alongside pictures of their baby's feet and their dog, Decoy, or Dekopin, as he's known in Japan. And, you know, Ohtani rejoined his team the next day actually to play against the Rangers. So I guess parenthood is not really stopping him from making his big hits in baseball. But I think it's so cute. Are you an Otani fan, Kuze?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I don't follow much baseball, but I do like Otani. I think it's really cool.
You do have like a favorite player here and there. I feel like even if people don't know sports, they have like a couple of players in mind that they like know of.
Yeah, I think so too. And he is one of those people for me when it comes to baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's also, I think, arguably one of the most famous, you know, sports stars to come out of Japan.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Solid fan base there. And, you know, I'm also an Otani fan, though, like you, I'm not a major baseball follower. So it's so cute and I'm so happy for him. And, you know, maybe we'll see his daughter kind of grow up. Who knows, maybe she'll also become a baseball star. But again, no pressure.
Yeah.
Seems like we're hoping those genes get passed on there.
Yeah. Well, our next headline is London Veil Sculpture. A veil sculpture was unveiled in Canary Wharf in London on April 10th. The sculpture was made out of plastic waste collected from beaches in Hawaii. To the surprise of many, some of the plastic found appeared to be debris from the 2011 tsunami. Some items found were objects with the name of a town in the Miyagi Prefecture on them and a plastic basket with the name of a port in Kuji, Iwate Prefecture. Both places were affected by the tsunami. Canary Wharf issued an apology for any offense caused, but the artists, Jason Klimowski and Leslie Chang, defended their work and said that not all of the 150 million tons of plastic is intentionally placed or even considered waste. They said the sculpture is another reason to be aware of what we use and how we use it, and to work together to protect our planet.
Hmm.
You know, this is really interesting, and I do feel like the artists could have a point, especially with the plastic not being intentionally placed. But then again, I also would understand anyone feeling sensitive about like destruction related to tsunami, right?
I think it's hard. It's hard sometimes to see like tragedies being turned into, or being commercialized rather, even if it's not intended to like offend or hurt, and it's the statement is completely different. I think anything that's associated with tragedy will immediately face backlash.
Yeah.
So I, like you said, you can understand both sides of the argument. And, you know, I think what the artists were trying to do with raising attention to the issue of plastic waste is a great effort and, you know, really, I think it's a really great move as well. But do I think that maybe using plastic waste from a tragedy was the best move? Maybe not. But I mean, again, I don't think there was a very clear ill intention behind it. But it's a really hard debate, and I don't think anyone can sit there and ask anyone to stop feeling the way they feel, especially when it comes to a tragedy, right? So everyone is completely and rightfully so entitled to feeling uncomfortable with the sculpture if, you know, because it's associated with such, you know, a truly terrible event.
Yeah, I agree.
And that being said, we can jump over to our next topic, which is the Japan Institute for Health Security. So Japan created the Japan Institute for Health Security, which is a new organization that will advise the government on major outbreaks of infectious diseases. So the organization was launched on April 1st following criticism over how COVID-19 was handled. And the institute is modeled after the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention and combines the National Institute of Infectious Diseases, which analyzes research and monitors diseases, with the National Center for Global Health and Medicine, which focuses on treatment, clinical research, and international cooperation. The idea is that this organization can respond quickly and conduct better communication. And I think this is a great idea, a great initiative, because I think we're seeing slowly a rise in the outbreak of these infectious diseases. Nowhere near, I think, the massive spread of COVID-19, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's only right now. But I think there is this now constant fear of a health crisis like that. And I think it's really great. I think prevention is better than a cure. So I think that's exactly what Japan is doing here. So I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I do think that COVID-19 should be a lesson for all of us around the world, and that we should like be a wake-up call for our governments to maybe handle infectious disease better.
Absolutely. It's like public health crisis, I don't think can be underestimated anymore. And it's one of the bigger needs of our time. So I'm glad to see steps being taken in the right direction. And on that note, I think we can take a little song break. And we're going to jump in with a classic from our queen, Utada Hikaru. We're coming in with her song, Electricity.
Kimi to boku no aida ni dare mo haire ya shinai hanarete itemo sore wa kawan nai usugurai restoran ni okurete kita kimi bokura no seki dake iki ni We
And you just heard Electricity by Utada Hikaru. So Utada Hikaru has been part of the music scene since 1998, which was when she was just about 15 years old. So she found success with her Japanese language debut, First Love, which eventually became Japan's best-selling album of all time. Since then, she's released several songs and albums that reached number one on the Oricon charts.
Electricity is one of the songs on her 2024 album Science Fiction. The album was released in celebration of the 25th anniversary of her debut, with the songs on the album including new mixes and re-recordings for previous singles. Electricity is one of the three original tracks on the album.
Now, I really like Utada Hikaru, so I mean, the song has been replayed multiple times. By me, I can say nothing wrong. I think Utada Hikaru is just an icon.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think she's really nailed her sound, and she's just overall such a good artist. Oh my God. I think I also love One Last Kiss, which has been on our like music lists, I think our top 10s as well for a couple of times when it was popular.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, really great sound from her overall.
Definitely. Love this song. Well, moving on to our second topic, we have our otaku announcements. And we'll start our otaku announcements with gaming news. Japanese comic publisher Shogakukan has announced the release of the Pokemon Ecology Encyclopedia, also known as the Pokécology, on June 18th in Japan. This book will offer an academic approach to more than 1,000 Pokémon, focusing on their behaviors, interactions, and ecosystems, with research led by ecologist Yoshinari Yonehara. Ecology book artist Chihiro Kinoshita will illustrate the book, creating full-color and highly detailed images to highlight the biological aspects of Pokémon life. The book is still several months from release, but Pokemon's popularity has already pushed it to the second spot on Amazon's bestseller list, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but don't underestimate the Pokemon fans, honestly. I'm very unsurprised by its popularity, but also I think the one thing I have to just marvel at consistently is how like massive the Pokemon universe is and how like in-depth like it's just gone.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's truly just, like, a separate line of study dedicated to Pokemon and its universe at this point. And you have
there
to, like...
There probably is, yeah.
And, again, it's a classic, so...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if your franchise goes on for that long and you sell that many games, I feel like you ought to flesh it out at some point. And Pokemon does a great job of that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure. I think this was a long time coming. So for all the Pokemon fans out there, I'm assuming the book is already kind of in either your Amazon cart or like on pre-order just waiting for publication. But very cool news coming from the universe of Pokemon. And on that note, Nintendo also has some really cool news coming out. So on April 2nd, Nintendo held their Switch 2 Direct, which revealed all sorts of information and games for their upcoming console. So accessories such as the camera and Pro Controller, games such as Donkey Kong, Bonanza, and Hyrule Warriors Age of Impression, and general console news overall were revealed. So a release date of June 5th and the announcement that pre-orders would begin on April 9th were included in the show, but the price was absent from like the Direct entirely, which was a bit of a bummer, but instead the price was announced immediately after through social media accounts, along with the reveal that Japan would be getting two different versions of the system. So one that supports global languages and Nintendo accounts priced at 69,980 yen, and one that only supports the Japanese language and Nintendo accounts priced at 49,980 yen. So actually shortly after that, Nintendo announced that due to the tariffs in the United States, they would not begin pre-orders until April 9th with the rest of the world. So the price of the console may be adjusted, but the release date will remain unchanged. On April 18th, it was announced that Nintendo would not change the price of the console, but the prices of the accessories would increase instead, and the US would begin pre-orders on April 24th. So, I mean, were you eyeing the new Nintendo Switch console, Kuze?
Oh yeah, for sure. It definitely sounds like something I'd be really interested in. Because I didn't get the original Switch, and I've been meaning to get a Switch for a while, so...
Now's the perfect time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but very cool announcements. It's also kind of interesting to see how the gaming world is affected by, like, global economies, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I didn't fully clock, like, the manufacturing of it, the manufacturing issues that would pop up. But, you know, the more you know, right?
Right.
I think rather shallow thoughts on my end. But to be fair, I think when they announced the Nintendo Switch, my first thought wasn't, oh my God, will I get it? Or will the price change because of tariffs? But again, short-sighted. I am actually also really excited for the new console. I did not get my hands on the Nintendo Switch originally as well. So very cool. And also very cool to see the new games mm-hmm. that are coming up for the new console as well.
Right. I've always wanted to play a lot of Nintendo games that I missed out on by not having a Switch. I did have a Wii, though. That was fun.
I think, for me, the Nintendo Switch, in my mind, was very solely associated with Animal Crossing for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I loved Animal Crossing. I still love it. So cute. But, you know, yeah, I think this new console, for me, means unlimited Animal Crossing, and I don't know whether that's going to be good for me or not. So we'll see, right? It's like, what am I willing to give up my dignity and the remainder of my time for this Switch? Possibly yes. So if you don't hear from me later or post this, just know that I sold my soul to Nintendo.
Nice. Our next headline is about Yoko Shimomura, a composer known for works on the Kingdom Hearts series, Street Fighter II, Final Fantasy XV, Super Mario RPG, and many other games, was awarded the Fellowship at this year's British Academy of Film and Television Arts Game Awards, otherwise known as the BAFTAs. Shimomura has been composing for video games for over 30 years, and the award she received on April 8 acknowledges her contributions to the industry, which I think is amazing, because I do appreciate Shimomura's works a lot.
Absolutely, extremely well-deserved. But yeah, no, I think Shimomura is one of my favorite video game composers. So it's very cool to see her getting the recognition for all her amazing contributions to this industry.
For sure.
That being said, we're now taking a quick jump, actually, from the world of games, and we're heading over to anime. So some of the anime news from spring... a 6-meter-tall Evangelion Unit 01 statue was unveiled at Hamamatsu in the Shizuoka Prefecture on Sunday, April 20th, as part of a local tourism campaign. The statue is based on the anime film Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time, and it will be displayed in the lobby of Hamamatsu City Hall until late January 2026. So the opening ceremony featured the City Firefighters Band playing the anime's theme song, actually, which is so cute. I love that. And the local initiative celebrates the 30th anniversary of Neon Genesis Evangelion and is the latest in Evangelion-themed campaigns centered around the Tenryu Futamata Station. So I was an Evangelion fan, so my hope and my aim is, one, the Osaka Expo, and now, two, the Evangelion statue.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I love Evangelion. Everything about it. I'm a huge Evangelion fan.
So good. Yes. So good.
Yeah.
I think it is one of the best, at least in my opinion, best written anime out there.
For sure.
And you know, just has, oh, chef's kiss, truly. I'm a big fan of Evangelion. It's up there in, I think, my top 5 anime of all time, for sure. I'm a big Evangelion fan.
Yep, me too. And seeing this just makes me happy.
You feel really satisfied. I'm like, yes, recognition for art. But Evangelion has a really solid and massive fan base. So all our Evangelion fan listeners, you know, big shout out to you. Please, if you happen to be in Hamamatsu, please go check out the statue and send me pictures so that I can cry myself to sleep and, you know, look at it and go, goals. This is what I want to go see soon.
Yeah, for sure. Really nice. Up next, we have The Ghost in the Shell. The official Ghost in the Shell website released a second teaser trailer and visual for the upcoming TV anime titled The Ghost in the Shell on April 11th. The anime is set to air in 2026 with Moko-chan, the assistant director of Dandadan, making his directorial debut, and acclaimed sci-fi novelist To Enjo handling scripts and series composition. This TV anime marks the fourth adaptation of The Ghost in the Shell, 10 overall if you consider all previous series and films. With a shift in production staff, this can potentially be seen as a second generation of adaptations. Pretty cool. Love Ghost in the Shell.
I'm gonna be very honest here, and I'm gonna get a lot of hate. I never really ended up reading or watching Ghost in the Shell properly.
Oof, yeah.
I can like mentally feel like the stabs coming at me. But hear me out. Like, I tried watching the anime, but I never... It was one of those things where that I was, like, watching the anime very half-heartedly, and I wasn't, like, paying attention to anything. And I never really did end up reading the manga of this as well, which is normally what fills in the plot points for me. So, despite all the adaptations and the films and all that, I just never really ended up getting too into it. But I love the music from the series and the movies from all of the Ghost in the Shell kind of adaptations. But also, this brings a really good point up about, you know, adaptations of shows, right? Or revivals of shows, which is what we're seeing now. I don't know. Do you think, like, the adaptation or the revival of these shows is a good thing?
Yeah, I'm in support. I think it allows new generations to be aware of the franchise and maybe go watch the classics after they watch the adaptation. So I feel like it could be great for the revival of, like, classic series.
Okay, I didn't think about it that way. No, that's very cool. I'm also for, you know, these adaptations, because I really like seeing different directors and the way they handle, like, the story material.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's really interesting that way then as well, to kind of see these adaptations come to life. That being said, we also have, you know, a bit more news on the anime front. So this is for our Boruto fans. Studio Perro's official website slips some major news in basically plain sight. So a small line on the Boruto franchise page was added stating a second part has been confirmed. And so the anime has been on hiatus since 2023, and it still has several events that it needs to cover before it can catch up with Boruto Blue Vortex and the major storyline currently taking place in the manga. So, you know, a release window has yet to be confirmed, along with the four Naruto episodes that were delayed. This was back in 2023, but fans are hoping to hear more after Bleach Thousand Year Blood War finishes its kind of final batch of episodes. So then I think we may get more confirmed timings and news on when the Boruto Part 2 is going to move forward.
Yeah.
So I actually haven't been following Boruto all that much. I was really, like, really good about it for a while. And then I think I started watching a little bit of Boruto, and then I didn't really kind of take it forward. But I'm hoping, like, part two means that I'm going to sit and binge watch all of Boruto to catch up, I guess.
Maybe I'm just spending too much time with, like, negative people, but a lot of my Naruto fan friends really dislike Boruto.
Honestly? Okay. This is about to get real controversial, Kuze. Whoa, you're opening up, like, this entire, like, can of worms.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. It wasn't that it was bad. It just wasn't as good. And it was also maybe, like, a little bad.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? But again, I think you need to, like, realize we're comparing it to Naruto, which really set a benchmark for a lot of, like, anime and, like, the genre itself with, you know, how iconic it was. But again, It's like, dude, surely.
Yeah. I think another major complaint is that just contradicts with some like established, like, I don't know, character personalities and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Or like plot points.
Yeah, some real canon, like the real like storyline plot holes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on from that.
It's like, we will end this here before like anything is, like more is said and we hurt sentiment.
Yeah, to be a little less controversial, let's move on to something that literally everyone on this planet likes. A Cruel Angel's Thesis by Yoko Takahashi, Toshiyuki Omori, Hidetoshi Sato, and Neko Oikawa.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
That was Cruel Angel's thesis, Evangelion's theme song. Neon Genesis Evangelion premiered in October of 1995 and ran until 1996. The story takes place 15 years after a global cataclysm called the Second Impact in the futuristic city of Tokyo Tree. The series focuses on a teenage boy named Shinji Ikari, who has to pilot a biomechanical mecha called an Evangelion to fight creatures known as angels. The series led to movies, manga, books, video games, and other series that retell the events of the original.
So, A Cruel Angel's Thesis was written to be the opening theme of the original anime, and it was performed by singer Yoko Takahashi, composed by Toshiyuki Omori and Hidetoshi Sato, and had the lyrics written by Neko Oikawa. So, the theme has become one of the most popular anime songs, and still wins polls on Japanese websites and has remained a popular karaoke song for good reason. Again, I think, like you said, such a good song, very undisputed in how good it is. I think this is an iconic theme song in my mind. Like, I hum it randomly during the day.
Yeah, me too.
One of those theme songs, yeah.
What's not to love?
And Hidetoshi Sato is one of my favorite, like, composers. Like, just overall, brilliant. A banger, truly.
It is. It really is.
That being said, after that fun little music break, we're heading into some more of our headlines from Japan. So, right off the bat, we have Tsugano's second win. So after 12 seasons and 136 games with the Yomiuri Giants, Tomoyuki Sugano began his first season with the Baltimore Orioles this year. So on April 17th, he led the Orioles to victory against the Cleveland Guardians with a mix of fastballs, curveballs, sliders, and splitters, marking his second Major League Baseball win. He pitched 7 efficient innings, including a double play in the 7th, that allowed the team to win 6-2. Now, as a non-baseball fan, this meant nothing to me. I truly couldn't, like, you asked me to explain what I just said. I would struggle, right? But Tomoyuki Sugano is also one of my favorite baseball players. Having known nothing about the game, I'm like, yeah, honestly, approved. And it's so cool to see that, like, you know, just making his way, making a name for himself. And for all the baseball fans out there, I'm really sorry. I promise to get better at baseball explanation next time we meet. And I'm talking about baseball ever.
Oof, I feel you.
Yeah, I don't think we're the best combo to be sitting here explaining baseball, because we say one wrong thing and a diehard baseball fan is going to come for us being like, guys, listen. But a win is a win. So, I mean, way to go, Sugano.
Yeah. GG. Up next, we have price hike on Mount Fuji. Starting this summer, hikers will need to pay 4,000 yen, or approximately $27, as an entry fee if they want to climb any of Mount Fuji's 4 main trails. This comes as officials in Yamanashi and Shizuoka prefectures passed a bill to address overcrowding on the mountain, causing concerns about safety and environmental damage. Previously, the popular Yoshida Trail in Yamanashi Prefecture required a 2,000 yen entry fee and online reservations with daily entry caps. The 2024 climbing season will see those fees double, and the Shizuoka Prefecture will implement the same fee for its trails, which were previously free. The former measures already contributed to a slight decrease in climbers, but officials are still concerned about the large number and emphasize the need for restrictions to ensure safety. That's fair.
Yeah, I think this is a great move. I think safety concerns, especially during hiking, need to be addressed. And I can understand the need for this for sure. I mean, I never want to dissuade anyone from going up Mount Fuji and, you know, seeing it in all its splendor. But again, I think, guys, it's kind of hard to ensure everyone's safety if basically everyone is there 24/7. So I think these are really great initiatives. I really don't know what more else they could do. I mean, maybe raise the fee more, but I doubt that's going to make too much of a difference to people who really want to see it. And honestly, for a lot of people, going to Japan is synonymous with a trip to Mount Fuji, at least for the first couple of times that you go, right? So
yeah,
I think it's one of those things where even tourists kind of need to take a step back and I think be a bit more conscientious about it, especially considering how dangerous it can be.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just, like, be careful.
Yeah, I mean, true. I mean, nothing else more you can really do with in situations like this.
Yeah, I guess.
With that, we have a quick song break. So, from League of Legends, and it's the song Here Tomorrow by Lilas and Kevin Penkin.
Oh,
So you just listen to Hear Tomorrow. Now, Lilas Ikura is the vocalist of the duo Yoasobi under the stage name Ikura, and she began her solo career in 2015 and continued through 2019 when Yoasobi released their debut single, Yoro ni Kakeru, and the song went viral and was incredibly successful in Japan, helping them gain fast popularity in the Japan music scene. I don't think there are too many people who are unfamiliar with Yoasobi given its internet and TikTok fame, but nonetheless, really great artists, right?
Definitely. I love Yoasobi. I didn't know that they made a song for League of Legends. That is interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that they had a collaboration with League of Legends either.
Like, as a former League victim myself.
I was sitting in the presence of a League gamer.
Unfortunate, yeah.
But I think we've all had, you know, our dark League days.
Perhaps. Yeah, don't do League, guys. It's not worth it.
It's a really fun game on that note, though. Very addictive. You will kind of socially isolate yourself from the rest of the world for like weeks, months, years, potentially.
Yeah.
No, definitely a fun game. With some, you know, really banger songs, because the song Here Tomorrow, it was actually used in the new cinematic for the game's upcoming season. So the song was composed by BAFTA-winning composer Kevin Penkin, and the song and music video were released digitally on April 15th. This music video also, by the way, I would recommend watching, a very cool one. For all League fans, I think it's a must watch. Very fun. Lots of little interesting notes from the game as well.
Right. Speaking of music, we have our music news now. On April 18th, King Gnu, a great band, released their new song Twilight along with the music video. The song is the theme song for the movie Detective Conan: One-Eyed Flashback, which was released in Japan on the same day. This is their first live-action music video since Specials in 2023, with Osrin returning to direct. This song is different from their usual sound, and Osrin acknowledged that in a comment, saying this music video was a challenge with the intention of renewing King Gnu. The voices and visuals may not be aligned. That was also a challenge. We also had the challenge of a lot of sets, a challenge in music and video.
I mean, okay, one, I'm a massive King Gnu fan. I love all his music.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do have to admit that the song was different.
I do agree. I can see that. But it's, you know, it's nice to have a King Gnu release.
That is true. Okay, I'm very biased because I'm a massive Daiki Tsuneta fan. And, you know,
yeah,
just, I love his voice as well. So, again, King Gnu can do little to no wrong, but I'm also really excited to see what this new rebranding, re-release kind of has going for them. And also, Osrin coming back to direct is big props because I loved the Special Z music video. So, this was a very cool little update from King Gnu. And
yep.
On that note, we also have some news from Utada Hikaru. On April 18th, Utada Hikaru announced that their new single, Mine or Yours, will be released digitally on May 2nd. So since March, the song has been used for the Coca-Cola green tea brand Ayataka, of which Hikaru is the brand ambassador. So along with the announcement, the artist and jacket photo were also released, and a digital lottery began where 200 people will win an original t-shirt featuring the jacket photo. That honestly, really, really cool. I mean, again, Utada Hikaru, just a classic musical icon. So very cool to see like the new music she's releasing.
Agreed. We do love Utada Hikaru here.
Absolutely.
And up next we have yet another music icon, Kanshi Yonezu. Kanshi Yonezu's 2025 World Tour Junk, which began in January, concluded in Los Angeles on April 6th. The tour included 10 performances in 7 cities across Asia, Europe, and the United States, with every performance selling out. The international tour combined with the domestic tour attracted more than 440,000 people, making it his largest tour in history. The show featured 24 songs, most of them from his album Lost Corner, which was released in August of last year.
Again, Kenji Yonezu icon. I'm really excited about his tour. I've seen some of the concert videos, and you know, it was so cool to watch. He's a real performer, I have to say.
Yeah, for sure. I love his performances. Sometimes I just watch, you know, one of his performances on YouTube or some, and it'd be amazing to go to one of his concerts. I'm so not surprised that they were sold out.
Oh, for sure. The energy looks so electric. I really want to go for one of his concerts. One day, Kuze. Mm-hmm. That is the goal. I think my list of like goals and dreams just increases with every episode, because now I'm already at like Osaka Expo, the Evangelion statue, and now Kenji Yonezu concert. These episodes really start to like hurt me physically, because now I have a bunch of goals and I'm like, when?
Yeah.
That being said, we will take a quick break from my ever-growing misery here. And we have a song, and it is none other than King Mew's song, Twilight. just heard Twilight, as we spoke about earlier. It is their 9th digital single. And King New is a band that was formed in 2013 under the name Mrs. Vinci. So the band is made up of Daiki Tsuneta, Satoru Iguchi, Kazuki Arai, and Yu Seki. Since releasing their first album under the name King New in 2017, the band has gone on to have several songs and albums in the top 10, toured across Japan, and collaborated with companies, TV shows, anime, and movies.
Twilight is King New's 9th digital single. To celebrate the song's release, they performed a live concert in front of the Tokyo Kabukicho Tower in Shinjuku, where they performed the music for the first time on April 18th.
So, I think like we said, we spoke about earlier, this is a very different sound from King New, and really interesting to see.
Right, exactly. The live concert part is pretty cool. I wish I was closer to these bands so that I could see them perform live.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But also, again, I would recommend watching the music video. I think it's really interesting to see how bands kind of rebrand and evolve with, you know, them coming together again to release more music after some time. All of that, right? So just a very cool new look coming from King New.
Yep. So now we have our fun news, starting with something that horrifies me. Gacha toilets. A company called Spring has found a way to make the pay toilets that are standard on mountain hiking trails in Japan a bit more fun. The company has introduced gacha toilets with the first setup in Iwadono-san Park Municipal Parking Lot. Iwadono-san is a mountain in Yamanashi Prefecture with one of Mount Fuji's 12 beautiful views. For now, the toilets work on the honor system, so you don't have to buy something from the gacha to use it. Still, those who do will either get a button featuring one of the 12 beautiful views or an omamori lucky charm with one of the region's sightseeing spots on it. Both items are made from acrylic because they've been upcycled from the acrylic partitions that restaurants and food courts had installed during the pandemic. See, the details make it sound a lot better, but whenever I think to myself, gacha toilets, like the possibilities.
Yeah, do you think it's a missed opportunity or do you just not like the idea of a gacha toilet?
It's just really funny to me.
Okay, agreed, right? It's not really two words or like two thoughts that I would put together. But I suppose, yeah. I mean, like to create some sort of revenue. And also, I mean, you leave with a really cute little souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it makes sense. I also like the fact that they're using recycled materials. So it does sound like the description sounds a lot better than just saying gacha toilets is.
Yeah.
Lots of implications there as you're just playing kind of Russian roulette to use the washroom.
Agreed.
But no, this is just one of those things where, you know, you get a gacha and then you use like the washroom. The idea is that you kind of, it's a pay to use washroom in a certain sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, the implications of just saying gacha toilets is immense and open to so much like miscommunication.
Yeah, that scares me for sure.
Up next, we have some news from Noge, who has released some new wristbands. So Noge is actually a neighborhood in Yokohama with more than 600 bars and pubs. So they've introduced a system to ensure the comfort of its customers. The neighborhood has introduced a series of 6 wristbands called Konnya no Wristband, or Tonight's Wristband, that display your mood. So the wristbands are written in English and Japanese to help those looking for conversation and those who just may not be in the mood. So the wristbands come in 3 colors. Those wearing green wristbands are willing to chat about anything. Those wearing yellow wristbands are interested in specific conversation like recommendations for what to drink or information about the town. And those wearing red wristbands politely turn down conversation without saying a word. So neighborhood plans to sell them this summer at 500 yen for a set, but a limited number of sets are being given away as free samples, which can be requested by following Noge's social media and sending a message. This is such a smart idea.
Yeah, it is.
I think this solves so many issues if everyone is willing to respect the color coding system, which I'm hoping everyone is. Because if I'm, like, there's so many days when I'm, like, out and I'm drinking at, like, and, you know, like, I know people who are, like, drinking at pubs and bars, and they just don't want to talk to anyone. And then, like, everyone is, like, socializing. This is the perfect little compartmentalization. And I think it is an introvert's dream as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to go out without being bothered. So I think it's a great move. And honestly, I hope it works out. I'm actually going to be actively following this, like, initiative to see if it works out. Because if it does, I think this would be, like, a great thing to implement across the board.
Right. I've heard of, like, similar systems with, like, cup colors and whatnot. But yeah, I don't think it's, like, commonplace anywhere. But I do agree. I think it's a good thing to implement. A way to tell people that you just want to be left alone.
Real. I think it's the more polite way, right? Rather than someone coming up and then getting kind of upset about it.
Exactly.
They know right from the start that you just don't want to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And moving on to our next topic, we have Captain Tsubasa, recognized by the FIFA Museum. Awesome. I love Tsubasa. A special exhibit is being held at the FIFA Museum in Zurich to mark 44 years since the debut of the football manga, Captain Tsubasa. The showcase is part of the Football Fever exhibition. According to the museum, it recognizes the manga's influence on football culture, having inspired generations of players and fans worldwide. The exhibit runs until August 31st and features items such as Japan's national team jersey with a signature and illustration from the manga creator Yoichi Takahashi to celebrate 100 years of Japanese football. There is also a football dedicated to Tsubasa Ozora, the main character of the series, and an interactive gaming experience called Captain Tsubasa, Rise of New Champions. Captain Tsubasa is so iconic.
Yeah, no, Captain Tsubasa is really great. It's one of those really iconic sports manga that just put people on the right sport path. Also made football so intensely interesting for me. I remember young me reading Captain Tsubasa and just being absolutely, like, fascinated. Are you a big football fan, Kuze?
Yeah, I like football. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but I mean, I still watch it. And I still play it sometimes.
Right, but it's not one of those things you're, like, actively following.
Yeah, I guess not. And for American listeners out there, we are referring to soccer when we say football.
Good catch.
But I feel like that's a little self-evident. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, with Captain Tsubasa, I guess, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that we're talking about soccer. But no, this exhibit sounds really cool. And it's nice to see pop culture and sports coexisting in the real world as well. So, I mean, really solid shout out here, because this exhibit appeals not only to, like, the football fans, but also to the anime manga fans who now have, like, a really cool exhibit to go see. So a very cool crossroads. And that brings us to one of my favorite songs of all time. And this is You by Millennium Parade. And you just heard You by Millennium Parade. Now, Millennium Parade is a music project led by King Mew's Daiki Tsuneta as a successor to his solo project, Daiki Tsuneta Millennium Parade. As part of this project, he works with his creative team Perimetron and various artists and creators with the theme of the sounds of Tokyo as seen from around the world.
You is Millennium Parade's second single and was used as the main theme of the film The Dragon and the Franco Princess, or Belle, as it was called outside of Japan. The song is sung by Kaho Nakamura, who provided the voice for the main character in the film, a high school girl named Suzu. The song was released on July 12th, 2021, ahead of the movie CD.
So I'm a really big fan of this song and Millennium Parade. I think when we were talking about King Yu as well, I'm a massive Daiki Tsuneta fan. So Millennium Parade is just absolutely beautiful to me. And I'm a really big fan of Belle. I love the director, Mamoru Hosada. He's also made like other really cool animated movies. I think one that a lot of people may be familiar with is Wolf Children. But Belle is such a visual like spectacle. It's so nice to watch. Lots of colors and the music is absolutely phenomenal. And this song is just kind of ties it all together. This is one of my all-time favorite anime movie songs.
Yeah. I unfortunately didn't have the chance to watch Belle, but I do agree that Millennium Parade is amazing and this song is pretty good.
And I can't think of a better way to kind of end this episode, you know, a very spring-esque song to end the episode. But not to worry, because while this may be the end for Kuze and I, you will unfortunately hear this voice again, because Vicky and I will be having a very fun, cool, rocking episode for May's Artist of the Month, where we're featuring the band X Japan. So we'll see you very soon from now.
That's awesome.
With that, we're kind of wrapping up on this episode. So what do you think of the news from Japan for spring?
It was pretty cool. A lot of fun news.
Yep, lots of really cool updates, interesting things coming up. Lots of things now on my like bucket list and checklist of things to do. But I hope spring treats all our listeners well. And we will see you in the next episode.
That we will. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
Hey there, music lovers. Did you know that getting licensed to share music online is not just the right thing to do? It's also super important for supporting creators and the music industry. That's why we're proud to be licensed by SOCAN, a copyright collective that grants licenses for online music broadcasts in Canada. By getting licensed through SOCAN, you ensure that every beat, every note, and every melody that you play is compliant and fair to the creators. Join us in supporting the music community. Visit SOCAN's website at www.socan.com and get your web radio, podcast, or any other use of online music licensed today. Let's stream beautiful music together, legally and ethically. SOCAN. Music. People. Connected.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.